Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Sonali.
Wisconsin lawmakers are taking up legislation to make it illegal for unions to have mandatory dues. As part of Governor Scott Walker's ongoing attacks on organized labor, the bill, if it becomes law, would effectively strip unions of political and economic power. There will be a public hearing in Madison today, but Walker has planned a fast track for the bill, and it could swiftly pass. Walker has promised to sign it as soon as it appears on his desk. Wisconsinites have planned protests against the bill, but Walker's sights are set on the White House, and he appears to see passage of the anti-union bill as cementing his presidential credentials with the Republican Party. 4 years ago, when Walker introduced a similarly anti-labor law, his actions sparked what is now called the Wisconsin Uprising. About half the states in the nation already have laws barring unions from collecting mandatory dues. These are euphemistically called right-to-work laws. Bob, Walker was in the news recently for claiming that President Obama doesn't love America, but it appears as though Walker doesn't love Wisconsin. What do you think?
Well, love, love, love. All you need is love, apparently. But of course, you also need law, policy, and power on your side. Scott Walker likes and loves part of Wisconsin, especially the business community and the more wealthy. The question is, do right-to-work laws do anything more than equate to the right to work at the lowest possible wage? I mean, imagine going up against Walmart as an individual. You have no power. You go up against Walmart as part of a union, you have bargaining power. This is as old as capitalism. So right-to-work laws have long been a fetish of the right wing to try and bust what little power unions have. Remember, unions are declining in power down to about 1 in 10 Americans belong. This may be the start of a final attack on unions, and that's why it's so important to defend them.
And a 19-year-old college student at the University of Illinois in Chicago stands accused of raping a fellow student. Mr. Mohammed Hussein told school authorities that he knew he had done something wrong and that he was apparently trying to reenact scenes from the best-selling book 50 Shades of Grey and the film based on the book, which is currently in theaters. 50 Shades of Grey, which has been very popular among younger readers and viewers, has been widely criticized for glorifying male dominance, domestic abuse, and rape. Meanwhile, two former football players at Vanderbilt University who were recently convicted of raping and assaulting an unconscious female student are awaiting sentencing. The sentencing hearing for Brandon Vandenberg and Corey Beatty has been postponed to April. The two young men could face decades behind bars. Well, Bob, there's clearly an epidemic of campus rape, but it now appears as though this popular new book and film could inspire a whole new level of sexual assault.
Well, we have to be careful about making causal claims, that is, connecting any media product, pop culture item, to behavior. The way I would say it is, you know, I doubt that 50 Shades of Grey made this young man do it, but 50 Shades of Grey is part of a culture in which young men routinely do it, that is, that sexual violence becomes almost normalized. So 50 Shades of Grey is simply one step in the pornographic culture. We don't have to make overly deterministic claims to recognize the nature of the problem. It's patriarchy. It's the way that patriarchy, male dominance, institutionalized male dominance shapes not only the way young men think about themselves, but as we see in this film, the way women think about themselves, the way the whole culture thinks about sex.
And finally, thousands of undocumented immigrants at a detention facility in Raymondville, Texas, are being transferred days after a riot left the center unusable. About 3,000 immigrants being held at the detention facility, nicknamed RITMO, for its resemblance to conditions at the notorious U.S.-run prison in Guantanamo, rioted on Friday. The Willacy County Correctional Center is a privately run prison whose rampant human rights abuses and appalling living conditions have been well documented by the ACLU and other groups. Prisoners are housed in large tents where they're exposed to weather conditions, insects, and constant sewage problems. The Friday riot was specifically aimed at the lack of medical care. It's the third time that a privately run prison housing immigrants has faced an uprising. Well, Bob, given these horrific conditions, is it any wonder that people rioted?
It almost makes you wonder how any decent person could live in the state of Texas. I do. You know, this is appalling, shameful. It's hard to find the right words. What this reveals is that the moral claims we make as a culture, that we respect all life, that we treat people with dignity, are shallow claims at best. And the private prison system, the way we treat immigrants, is a good indication of this. This particular facility is one, of course, many, all of which have problems, these problems most appalling, perhaps. But it reminds us that immigrants are people, and if we claim to be the moral beings we want to be, these kinds of conditions are simply unacceptable. It calls into question, of course, bigger issues around immigration, but this is a good place to start.
Bob Jensen, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anali.
Robert Jensen is our daily Newsflash guest expert. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. We'll be right back after this break.